last week, Nelly talked about terpenes, and which was one of the sort of newer pain solutions. So I thought we'd maybe go to the opposite end of the spectrum and talk about one of the oldest. So, as you say, paracetamol is pretty common in most Tasmanian homes, and it's a good first choice for a lot of the sort of medical pain situations. But I think a lot of people come a bit blasé about paracetamol and potentially use it a bit inappropriately. So it's, which sometimes leads to unintended consequences. So I thought we'd just have a look at that.
Right. So where should we start when it comes to paracetamol?
Well, I guess paracetamol, you know, a bit of history. It was first discovered back in the 1870s, but it wasn't widely used in Australia, well, through the world, as a pain relief thing until about the mid-1950s, when a company called Sterling Winthrop marketed it as Panadol, which is, I guess, what we really associate with paracetamol today. It's used to treat mild and moderate pain and fever as well, but they sort of marketed it as being gentle to the stomach, which was, I guess, an alternative to aspirin that time, because aspirin quite often caused some stomach problems and still does. That's regularly used as, you know, combined with other drugs like codeine, paracetamol, ibuprofen and pseudoephedrine, but it is still very effective on its own.
Right. As we mentioned before, nearly all of us keep some Panadol in the cupboard at home. So we use it for headaches or when kids have a fever. Is that all it's used for?
Well, they're certainly two of the more common things that it's used for. It has an bit of a small anti-inflammatory effect as well, but its ability to normalise body temperature is really effective. So if you've got a virus or something that's making you have elevated temperature, then paracetamol is one of the best things for reducing that. But also some people use it for chronic pain, so like arthritis or cancer, migraines, toothache perhaps, or period pain. And some people find also it's really good for that heavy feeling that you get if you have colds or flu. So a few different things. And part of the reason that it's a good first choice for many types of pain is because of its safety profile. It's really safe in terms of not many side effects. It doesn't interact with other medications. And it's safe during pregnancy or while you're breastfeeding. So if it's taken in the regular sort of recommended doses, it's usually really effective and not really that dangerous.
Right, so are the recommended doses the same for everybody, or are there variations we need to be aware of?
Well, in a lot of cases, a single dose is all you really need, for perhaps a headache or something like that. But the size of the dose can vary based on the age of the person or the type of paracetamol you're taking. For adults, the standard dose is the 500 milligrams, is, you know, two of those up to four times a day. But for kids, when it's usually liquid or perhaps chewable tablets, the dose is calculated either by their age or their weight, whichever gives you the lowest dose. And I guess as a rough guide, about 50 milligrams per year of age, or if you're doing it by the weight of someone, about 15 milligrams per kilogram of their body weight is how it should be split up. It can be given to kids from pretty much 1 month a year, 1 month old onwards, but if they're less than 12 months, it should only really be a short-term thing. Other things about dosage, the doses should be at least 4 hours apart, but it can only be taken a maximum of four times a day. So if you're doing it 4 hourly, then there needs to be a gap somewhere as well. Right. And I guess the other dosing thing now, there's extended release paracetamol, which is a higher dose that lasts for longer. So that should only be taken 3 times a day. So a few different dosages to consider.
Okay. You mentioned before that paracetamol doesn't have side effects. So does that mean that there isn't any risk associated with taking it?
Well, I mean, there's very few drugs that don't have any risk at all. But there are a couple of things to be careful of with paracetamol. As I mentioned before, if you take it too often or less than 4 hourly or more than 4 times a day, it becomes really difficult for your liver to process that amount of paracetamol, and you can cause damage to your liver with paracetamol if you're over the dosage that is recommended dose. Also, some adults in particular think because they're bigger or they have regular pain, taking more than two, like they might swallow three or four at a time and think that, well, that's going to give me better pain relief. Well, the research shows that it doesn't actually do that, other than because you think it does. It's a bit of a placebo effect. But it can lead to liver damage if you're doing that on a regular basis. And I guess finally, paracetamol is obviously in combination with other things like in cold flu medications or some migraine medications. So you need to be careful if you're taking multiple medications that you're not doubling up on the doses by taking paracetamol for your headache when you might also be taking it for your arthritis or something along those lines. So there's still a few things to be quite careful about, really.
Yeah, so what about reading the instructions then? Is that still important?
Well, that's always a good idea with medication. We say that to everyone in the face. But in all seriousness, you know, quite a few people think, well, it's just Panadol, you know, I'll just take whatever I need. But, certainly all the packages will have information about dosage, so it's a good idea to read those first.
Now, reasonably accessible. Apparently there's a chance that rules around access to paracetamol are going to change. What can you tell us about that?
Therapeutic Goods Administration, who look after all of the regulatory aspects of medication in Australia, they've had some concerns recently about people overdosing on the slow-release forms of paracetamol. And so they're looking at whether that their availability needs to be restricted to certain circumstances. Because the problem with the extended release forms is that if you have an overdose, whether it be through unintended consequences or because you've inadvertently taken too many, then it can take longer to get out of your system, so it's much harder to deal with. So they're looking at some research and data on that to see whether it's worth wise to actually restrict the supply of that to pharmacies or even prescription. But that's a fair way off yet. The plans to do that are not until the middle of next year, and then it'll probably be the end of next year before we have any changes. So nothing to be too concerned about just yet.
Very good. Interesting discussion about paracetamol this afternoon on Home Run Health Matters. Colin Wood from 4 Life Pharmacy in Alveston. Thanks, mate.
Great. Thanks, Lee.